All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So we left off, today's daf is Yuchas. We left off Yud Zayin Amud Beis Amar Rav Huna. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 19 lines up from the bottom. So we'll say a very interesting sugya we begin today that's actually going to take us through a couple of blocks. We might supply Amar Rav Huna said, Shomeres Yavam Shemesam. If a Shemeres Yavam dies, so what's the case over here? So Reuven died. It's actually, we'll go with an uncomplicated Yibum case. Reuven dies without children, leaves behind a wife. Shimon is going to go ahead and do Yibum with Reuven's wife. That's called the Shomeres Yavam. Now what happens? Before anything ever happens, no Ma'amar, no nothing, what occurs? Nebuch, the widow dies. We'll call her Leah. Leah dies. So Rav Huna says the name of Rav, that if that occurs, Shimon is permitted to marry Leah's mother. Shimon's management, now I will say, understand, normally, obviously, you're not allowed to marry the wife of your mother. No, I'm sorry. Can't do that either. But you can't marry the mother of your wife. And that is an era of a relationship that applies even if what? Even once the wife dies. So meaning, remember, like for example, we'll see you can't marry a woman and her sister. But once a wife dies, you are permitted to marry her sister. There are other era of relationships that remain intact even when the wife dies. So, for example, if Reuven's married to Leah, even once Leah dies, Reuven may not marry Leah's mother. So here you have Rav Huna saying that Lemaisa, again, if the Shomeres Yavam dies before anything occurs, that the Yavam, Shimon, is permitted to go ahead and marry the Yavama, Leah's mother. What do we see from here? Therefore, you see from here that's what? I will say now we're going to get into an interesting thing called Zeka. So Zeka literally means a connection. But what Zeka really means is a marital connection. What we are going to get into now is that there's going to be a fundamental dispute. When a man dies and leaves childless and leaves behind a wife, and that wife is subject to the laws of Yibum, what is the relationship between her and the surviving brother? Do we say that essentially there's no real connection between them until the surviving brother actually does Yibum? Or do we say the fact that they are in a context of Yibum by definition creates a marital bond, even what? Even before Yibum happens? That's going to be the match. I'm sorry? So what if the correct. So that's the machlokas. So if you hold Ein Zeka says there's no real connection between the widow and the surviving brother until literally Yibum or Chalitza is done. Yesh Zeka is going to say that what? No. As soon as the brother dies and the widow is cast into a Yibum context, by definition, that creates a bond, a marital bond between widow and her and surviving brother. Again, not full marriage just yet, but lemaisa, again, a marital bond. So Rav Huna therefore says, if the Yavama dies before the Yibum ever occurs, there's no real bond that was ever established between the Yavama and the, when I say Yavama, I mean the sister, the widow. There was no real bond established between the Yavama and between the Yavam, the surviving brother. Therefore, lemaisa, the Yavam is permitted to marry the mother of the widow. Okay, so the Gemara says, Kassav, I'm a Kassav, therefore Rav Huna holds in Zeka. Look at Rashi about for just a moment. In Zeka, it's pretty much like right in the middle of Rashi. In Zeka, Zekas Yevimto Shemesa, Lo Alima Lemehavi Karusa, Lehe Aser Imo Allah Mishum Kamasa. I will say, it's interesting that Rashi gives a good illustration of this. If you hold that there's Yesh Zeka, if you hold that there's a marital connection, essentially then that as soon as a woman is put into the context of Yibum, she almost becomes like the Arusa. She almost becomes like betrothed to the Yavam, even before anything has been done. Now, obviously, once a woman is betrothed to a man, her mother becomes usher to that man, whether Nisuin occurs or not. So whether they get a divorce from Erisin, whether she dies, her mother remains prohibited. Therefore, Rav Huna holds no Zeka. Therefore, if the Yavama dies, the Yavam is permitted to marry her mother. So why do you have to go through this? Why don't you just say that the halacha follows the mandamer who says in zeka that there is no connection between the yavam and the yavama? Because if I would have just said this, hava amina hani mili betray. When do I say in zeka? I would say that's true when there are two surviving brothers, because they're both like, you can make a cogent argument of Ein Zeka when there are two surviving brothers, one, because in that situation, both are obligated in Yibum, and we don't know who's going to do it. So because of that, you can't say that there's a Zeka, you can't say that she's an Arusa to two men, that doesn't make sense. So I would, if you would have just told me that Lacha's Ein Zeka, right, then I would have said that only applies when there are two surviving brothers, Ala Bechad Yesh Zeka, but if there's one surviving brother, then I would say that there is a Zeka. So, okay, why don't you just simplify matters over here and just say the halacha follows the Madhama, who says that there's no Zeka, even with one surviving brother. Thank you. So the Gemara says, if I would have said this, have amina fila mechayim. I will say, if you would have said that there's no Zeka even with Chad, I might have made the mistake of thinking that what? That's true, even if the Yavama is alive. See, they both say, if you say like this, is an interesting case. If you hold Ein Zeka, that means there's no marital connection between the Yavam, surviving brother, right, and the Yavama, and widow. Well, if that's the case, then the truth is, even if she's alive, Yavam could go ahead and go and marry who? Marry her mother. Now, obviously, once he marries her mother, he excludes the possibility of Yibum, because now ultimately, again, this Yavama is the daughter of his wife, so she is literally, that would create every situation that would preclude Yibum. So therefore, again, that you can't do. So therefore, again, the ruling teaches us that no, this idea of Ein Zeka only applies if the Yavama died, but does not apply while she's alive. Why? Because even though technically speaking, what we just described should be permitted. If you hold there's no real marital connection between the Yavam and the Yavama before anything happens, then Lamaisa, Rut will call Shimon, the surviving brother, should be able to marry the mother of Leah, the widow. But if he does that, obviously what? He precludes the possibility of Yibum. We don't want that happening. So therefore, we don't want that happening. Therefore, we don't let him do that. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, Tanan, we learned. Yivinto Shemesa. Yeah, we learned in the Mishnah that if the Yavama dies, the Yavam is permitted to marry her sister. Ba'achos, we can infer from that. Ba'achos in the Imalo. We can infer from that what? That he's permitted to marry who? He's permitted to marry her sister, but he's not permitted to marry her mother, which is seen to be a refutation of Rav Huna's position. So the Gemara says, no. Who had din afilo di ima? It's not true. You could even marry her mother. Ba'aydi detana reisha ishto shemesa. To which the Gemara says that since the beginning of that Mishnah was talking about a general case of where a man's wife dies, just a stam case, and the Mishnah says that he is not permitted to marry her mother, but he is permitted to marry her sister, because even after a wife dies, the Isur D'Oraisa of a wife's mother is still in place. Therefore, once the Lashon of Heter for the sister was used in the first case, they just used it by the Yibum case as well. But technically speaking, that Mishnah would support the idea that once the Yavama dies, ultimately, again, the Yavam is permitted to marry her mother. So, both sides, this is the position of Rav Huna in the name of Rav. Right? That halacha lemaisa, ein zeka, there is no connection between the Yavama and the Yavam before Yibum is done. And therefore, again, should the Yavama die before Yibum occurs, therefore, the Maisa, the Yavam will be permitted to marry her mother. Same thing. Rav Yehuda says, Shomeres Yavam Shemesa Asra Bi'ima. On the other hand, Rav Yehuda says that not true. A Shomeres Yavam that died, meaning I will say again, same case. So Leah dies. Leah is the widow of Reuven. Leah dies before Shimon did any kind of Yibum. So Asra Bi'ima. So Shimon is not permitted to marry Leah's mother. Why? Amakasav, what do we see from here? Yesh Zeka, that clearly Rabbi Huda holds that there is a marital connection, almost like an erusin, that is automatically created between the Yavam and the Yavama when the widow falls into this situation. I blame halacha divrei Omer Yesh Zeka. Why don't you just say that the halacha follows the man d'amu who says that there is a Zeka? Ihava Amar Hachi, because if he would have just said this, Hava Mina Hani Midi B'chad, I would have said, when do we say Yesh Zeka? Perhaps only when there's one surviving brother. Aval betray, but if there are two surviving brothers, I would say perhaps Ein Zeka. I vaha ki pligi betray pligi. But yet, again, we already set up the machlokas as dealing with two brothers. But rather, if you would have said this, I would say, when is there a Zeka? Perhaps there's only a Zeka when the Yavama is alive. But after the Yavama dies, Paka la Zeka, the Zeka goes away. Kamashmalan, no. Kamashmalan, that is not true. The Zeka bichdi lo Paka. That Zeka does not spontaneously disappear. So both say again, therefore, the Shita Rabbi Yehuda is there is a Zeka. As soon as the widow is cast into this Yibum context with her surviving brother-in-law, Lemaisa again, there is a marital bond, almost like a type of irisin, that is created between Yavam and Yavama. Therefore, even if Yavama were to die before Yibum occurred, surviving brother would not be able to marry the Yavama's mother. So the Gemara goes weiter. So let's say that the following statement supports this position. Yivimto shemesa mutter ba'achosa. Again, it's quoting the same Mishnah as before. If the Yavama dies, the Mishnah ruled that what? That the Yavama is permitted to marry her sister. Ba'achosa in b'imalo. What can we infer from this? He's permitted to marry her sister. Why, Rabosai? Because again, that's not a novelty. Because in general, when you're married to a woman, if that woman dies, you are permitted to marry her sister, but you can't marry her mother. To which the Gemara says, lo. It's not true. You can even marry her mother. But since the beginning, the Mishnah was talking about a stam case of a man whose wife passes away, and the Mishnah says that what? That he's permitted to marry her sister, not her mother. So the Gemara said, "Dahavde isur d'oraisa," because the isur d'oraisa of a wife's mother still applies even after the death of the wife. Therefore, just for Mishnaic symmetry, the end of the Mishnah also spoke about the death of, or the permission to marry the sister in the event of the death of the wife. But the point is that Mishnah is not a raya. Masir Rav Huna Bar Chiya. So Rav Huna Bar Chiya raises a kasha. Asa b'ma'amar umeis. So listen to this. So let's say again, man does ma'amar. Rashi says, masnisin hi. So I'm actually quoting our Mishnah that we just had on Yudzayin Amud Beis. What happened? Remember again about saying the previous case, Reuben's married to Rachel, and Shimon's married to Leah. So Reuben dies after Reuben's death, Levi, right? A non-contemporary brother is born. What happens? So then again, the Mishnah said that if Shimon then does Ma'amar with Rachel, Reuben's widow, and then he died, what's the halacha? Umeis, Shnia Choletzes, V'lo Mesiavemes. So obviously, Levi, third brother, can't do Yibum with the first wife, Rachel, because she's the wife of a non-contemporary brother. But what about Shimon's wife? Shimon is a contemporary brother, so what does he do with Leah? So the halacha is Choletzes, V'lo Mesiavemes. He has to do Chalitza and can't do Yibum. They're both saying, the Gemara in first one is Taima. Why does he have to do Chalitza? Why can't he do Yibum? Taima, Da'avad Ba Ma'amar. It would seem to be because Shimon did Ma'amar. He affected some level of Kiddushin of Erusin with Reuben's widow. Therefore what? Therefore Lemais again was technically married to both women, which then from Levi's perspective, he can't do anything with Leah. Why? Because she is a co-wife. She is a tsara to the wife of a non-contemporary brother, which would then preclude them from Yibum. So the Gemara says the reason Levi can't do anything with Leah is because Shimon did Ma'amar. Halo Abad Ba Ma'amar. Had Shimon not done Ma'amar, Shnia Nami Yibumi Mi'avma. Ultimately, again, so it would appear that Levi would be permitted to go ahead and do Yibum with Leah. Now, both say, so what does that tell you? Remember again, so we can infer from the Mishnah, had Shimon not done Ma'amar with the widow of Levi, and with the widow of Reuven, and then Shimon would have died. So there would have been two women that would have fallen before Levi. Leah's out of the picture. Rachel's out of the picture because she's wife of a non-contemporary brother. But would appear, based on what we said in the Mishnah, that Levi would be permitted to do Yibum with who? With Leah. Why? Because it sounds like in the absence of Ma'amar, there was no connection between Shimon and Reuven's widow. What do you see from that? You see from that, ein zeka, that there's no connection. The amrit yesh zeka, because if you say that there is zeka, habilei tzaras eshes achas shalahai ba'ashalahayah ba'olamo. Bezeka, because if there is zeka, then what? then even in the absence of Ma'amar, the truth is again, Leah would have become the co-wife of the wife of a non-contemporary brother. To which the Gemara says, so the fact that doesn't happen, we seem to indicate that what? That ain't Zeka. So the Gemara says, Rabbi says it's not true. Even had Shimon not done Ma'amar, at the end of the day, Levi would do Chalitza with Shimon's actual wife. No Yibum. Why? Bahamid Diktani Ma'amar, and the reason it says Ma'amar is La Fuki mi Beis Shammai. Us to exclude the position of Beis Shammai, because what did Beis Shammai say? The Amar Ma'amar Kona King and Gamar. Plus, it's very interesting. We'll see this later on, quotes over here in Chof Tes on the days. Beis Shammai holds that Rabosai Ma'amar affects biblical Kiddushin. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says King and Gamar. It's where Rashi, the lines get short, about five lines in. King and Gamar, Vitehavi Tsaras Ereva Vitipater Afmina Chalitza. We'll see why this is, but Beis Shammai holds that Ma'amar literally affects real bona fide Kiddushin, full Kiddushin, and therefore if a man did Ma'amar, he's married to the Yavama, and therefore according to that model, if Shimon did Ma'amar with the widow of Ruvain, so then when Shimon dies, Levi would not do Yibum or Chalitza, because again, both of these women would essentially be prohibited to him. The first wife, we'll call her Rachel because she was the wife of his non-contemporary brother. And the second wife, i.e. Leah, who is the wife of Shimon, would be prohibited to him ultimately because she is the tsara of the wife of a non-contemporary brother. And therefore, again, there would be no Yibum or Chalitza. Therefore, again, the Mishnah uses the case of Ma'amar to exclude, to tell us that we don't pass in like Beis Shammai. Esve Abaye. Abaye is another kasha. Shnei Achim Ba'olam Echad. So we'll say if you have two brothers who are alive at the same time, and one of them died without children. And what happened? And now, the second brother gets up to go ahead and do Ma'amar with his sister-in-law. And I will say, what happens? So now, similar case to the Mishnah. Reuben and Shimon. So what happens? Reuben dies, and Shimon is about to do Ma'amar with the widow of Reuben. What happens before he does anything? What happens? Mazel Tov, another brother is born, Levi. What happens? Umes. And then before anything happens, Shimon dies. So what's the halacha? Harishona yotze mishum eish esachiv shalohaya ba'olamo. So we'll say wife number one, who we call wife number one, is the widow of Reuven. Obviously, does not do any kind of Yibum with Levi because she is the wife of a non-contemporary brother. Ushnia, and the second wife, who's the second wife of Rabosai? Second wife is the wife of Shimon. Good. Ushnia, ocholetes omes yavemes. The second wife, she does Chalitza or Yibum, right? Meaning she has the option. And the Gemara says, now here's the kasha, Rabosai. Vi'i amrit yesh zeka. Now, if you hold that there's Zeka, I will say, now remember, what happens when you say Yesh Zeka? What happens then? That means that as soon as a man dies childless, and she, the widow, is cast into a potential Yibum situation, there is already a marital bond between her and her surviving brother, and the surviving brother. There's already a marital bond. V'i amrit Yesh Zeka, havilei tsaras Yesh Zekam shalaya b'olam. So we'll say, if you hold Yesh Zeka, so the truth is again, Lamaisa, as soon as Reuben dies, and then Reuben's widow is cast into a Yibum situation with Shimon, there is a marital connection, which means now Shimon's two wives are already considered to be tsaros, which means now when Levi is born after the death of Reuben, by definition he should be precluded from ever taking either of those women in Yibum or Chalitza. Why? So wife number one, because she is the wife of his non-contemporary brother, and wife number two, who is the wife of Shimon, the original wife of Shimon, is also Aser. Why? Because she is the co-wife of the wife of a non-contemporary brother. To which the Gemara says, not a kasha. How money? Whose opinion does this reflect? Rabbi Meir. That's Rabbi Meir. The Amar Ein Zeka. We'll say, apparently, Rav Huna is not the only one who holds Ein Zeka. Rabbi Meir also holds Ein Zeka. So the Gemara says, Misfilei Rabbi Meir Ein Zeka. Is that true? Rabbi Meir holds Ein Zeka. But how can we learn? Arba achim, if you have the case of four brothers, shnayim mehen nisuin shtei achayos. So we'll say, so watch this. Four brothers, two of whom are married to two sisters, umesu hanisuin achayos. And what happens, Rabbi Osai? The two brothers who are married to the two sisters die. Both men die. So what's the halacha? Hare elu cholzos velo misyavmos. These women do chalitza, and they do not do yibum. Now, interestingly enough, why do both women do chalitza and not yibum? It's actually very interesting because lemaisa again. Well, actually, let's see in the Gemara. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Below misyavmos mishum de tarvaihu zikiki le lahai v'tarvaihu zikiki le lahai v'nasiv chad chad. So listen to this. What's the problem? The problem is we're going to see that each brother has a zeka. Each brother has a connection, which means that each brother has essentially a marital bond to two sisters. The problem with doing yibum with either one is what? Is that maisa doing yibum with one's zekuka yivama. So we're going to get into this case a little bit more, but just for our purposes now. If Rabbi Meir would hold that there's no zeka, there's no marital bond, then again these two women should be viewed totally independently. Hani mitrei bati kaasun. They're coming literally from two homes, two different marriages. Ba'ayli yavim chada. Let one brother be miyavim one of these women. One of these. So the only time that a problem comes up is if you hold yesh zeka. Because if you hold yesh zeka, that means that each surviving brother, has a marital connection to two sisters, which creates an almost impossible halachic reality. If you hold ein zeka, like we're suggesting Rabbi Meir does hold, then the Maaseh says whole thing poses no problem because there's no marital bond. There's no marital bond until when? Until Yibum is affected. No problem. Let brothers see. Remember, brothers A and B died. Let brothers C do Yibum with one woman or Halitz with one woman. Let brother D do Yibum with another woman. To which the Gemara says, "V'olam ein zeka." In reality, there is no zeka. There's no zeka. Mishum dekasavar. Suppose I look at Rashi. V'olam actually not yet. So v'olam ein zeka. So if there's no zeka again, so why can't we do yibum in that previous case of the four brothers? Mishum dekasavar aser levatal mitzvas yamin. Because the Tana holds that it is aser to go ahead and be mevatal and negate the mitzvah of yibum. What does that mean? The Dilma Adamiyabim Chad Mayis Idach. Because obviously, what's going to be the problem? The concern is that if one brother does Yibum, perhaps before the other brother has the ability to do anything, what'll happen? So the other brother will die. The fourth brother will die. And what happens? The Kabat Lad Misas Yagmin. And obviously, what happens then? Then that second widow will not be able to do anything because she is the sister. She is the sister already again of the Kohen. She's the Tzara. She won't be able to do it. There'll be no Yibum. Listen to this. So the Gemara, this is actually a very fascinating idea. So again, one more time, just for clarification purposes. Four brothers. Two of them, we'll just call them A and B right now. A and B are married to two sisters. That's right. C and D married to other women. A and B die. They die. Both of their wives now fall theme. So the Mishnah that we read said that Lamaisa, again in that case, you have to do chalitza, not evil. So the Gemara was suggesting, so skipping the previous step, now what we're saying is the following. What's the concern? Why can't you do Yibum? Meaning, if you paskin Abosa, which the Gemara seems to suggest that we are, if you paskin Ein Zeka, that means there's no marital bond between the surviving brothers and the widows. Let them each take one of the women in Yibum and Shalom Yisra. To which the Gemara says is another concern, because let's play this out. Let's say the plan is going to be that C and D, C is going to do Yibum with one sister-in-law, D's or one widow, D's going to do Yibum with the other widow. What's the concern? Let's say C does Yibum, and before D has a chance to do anything, he dies. What happens, Rabbi Sainab? Now there's one surviving brother, which means that technically speaking, C has a din of Yibum with the other widow. But he can't. Why? Because Lemaisa, she is now the sister of his wife, which ends up happening that you end up negating Yibum. So the Gemara says, you end up beginning, there's no chalitza, there's nothing. So the Gemara says something very interesting. The Gemara says, we're going to spend more time on this, but the Gemara says that essentially what we would rather do is, we would rather do chalitza and know for sure that we could do chalitza than run into a situation where you can't do anything. Meaning what the Gemara seems to be saying, and this is quite fascinating, again, this is not the place for this case, so that we're not going to get to it now. What the Gemara seems to be saying is that lemaisa, it's a good metaphor for life also, better to do something, even if lemaisa, the something, is far from perfect, than to end up in a situation where you are optionless and can't do anything. So we'd rather exercise the right of chalitza for both women now, knowing for sure that we can accomplish that and therefore somehow remedy this situation, than to run into a situation where lemaisa, the woman will be precluded from yibum. Again, it seems to be a far up chashash, especially given the fact, which is interesting, which we'll discuss in the sugya. In general, the Gemara says, you know, we're not choshesh from misa. We don't assume people die, meaning we know people die, but we don't assume on a day-to-day level that I can't do X because Ruvain might die. So again, we'll get into it, but the point the Gemara is making over here is that Lamaisa, it's not a kash on Rabbi Meir. The Gemara says, let's go weiter. So the Gemara says the following. V'i ein zeka, and if you hold, that there's no zeka, to which the Gemara says, tibatel. So if, I don't understand, if you hold there's no zeka, so who cares? And you'll say, so now you're telling me I want both surviving brothers to go ahead and do chalitza with the two widows, out of the chashash that maybe one brother will die before getting a chance to do yibum, and it will preclude the surviving widow from any kind of yibum. So the Gemara says, who cares? If there's no zekah, if there's no marital bond, what are you concerned about? You're not being mevatel anything if there's no marital bond. The Rabbi Gamliel both says, because Rabbi Gamliel said, ein zekah, umot levatel mitzas yadmin. Rabbi Gamliel is on record as saying that there is no marital bond. Before yibum occurs, there is no marital bond between the surviving brother and his sister-in-law and the widow, and you're permitted to go out in certain circumstances, even do things that will negate yibum. Where do we see that? From this, Rabbi Gamliel, listen to this. Rabbi Gamliel says, Rabbi Gamliel said, this is an interesting case. This is a situation of a man is married to a woman. Excuse me. A man is married to a woman, and what happens? He's married to a minor girl, a katana. So I will say, what happens? So let's say you have Reuven and Shimon. So Shimon's married to a minor girl. What happens? Reuven dies. Now, interestingly enough, Reuven and Shimon were married to sisters. So let's say Reuven was married to Rachel, Shimon's married to Leah, Leah's a kitana. Now we have a problem. What's the problem? Because now, right now, Rachel falls to Shimon for Yibum, but Shimon is married to Rachel's sister. But Leah is a kitana. So what does Rabbi Gamliel say? Rabbi Gamliel says like this. He says, Omer, im mirna mirna, v'im lo mirna, tamtin ad shetagdil v'teitzi, halazu mishum achos hishra. So Rabbi Gamliel says something very interesting. We encourage the kitana to do miyun. This obviously is talking about kiddushin kitana d'rabbanon. We encourage her to do miyun. Remember, we're already experts in miyun. What happens if a kitana does miyun? What does that do? It retroactively uproots the marriage. So Shimon was never married to Leah. And then what? And then he could do Yibum with Rachel. Because again, interestingly enough, remember. I'm sorry. Wait, she's a Katana, correct. Because for a simple idea that we have a choice over here between sustaining a rabbinic marriage or fulfilling a biblical directive. So therefore, again, if it's a choice between sustaining we would rather have them uproot, retroactively uproot the rabbinic marriage to allow him to perform the biblical mitzvah of Yibum. However, again, let's say she does not do miyun. So then in that case, what do we do? Bim lo miyun, if she won't do miyun. Tamtin ad shetagdil. We have to wait until the minor girl grows up. V'teitzei halazu mishum achos isha. And I will say, once the katana reaches the age, once she becomes a gedola, and she still remains married to this man, then by definition, ultimately, again, no Yibum could occur, because the maisa, again, she is, the widow is the sister of the current wife. But Rabbi said that option could only become clear once she becomes a gedola. So what do you see over here? Rabbi Gamliel allows even the active negation of yibum, because lemaisa, again, what's going to happen over here? Lemaisa, if she chooses to stay married, that actively negates yibum. To which the Gemara says the following. To which the Gemara says, I don't understand what you're talking about. To which the Gemara says, I don't understand. Very nice that you brought me a raya from Rabbi Gamliel. But we're not talking about Rabbi Gamliel. We're talking about Rabbi Meir. You made a statement before that Rabbi Meir holds Ein Zeka, And now, again, we prove from over here that perhaps that's not clear. Now you're bringing your right from Rabbi Gamliel. I don't care, Rabbi Gamliel. We're trying to figure out what the sheet of Rabbi Meir is. To which the Gemara says, no, I'll say exactly what we're saying. Amarle, I'm sorry. This is what I mean to say. Rabbi Meir chayish afilu l'sveikach. Rabbi Gamliel afilu levadai lo chayish. We'll say, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. The Gemara says, afilu l'sveikach. Rabbi Gamliel afilo hecha de vaday batla ki gon hacha de tamtin achetag de lo chayish. But you know what we mean to say is the following: Rabbi Meir apparently is choshesh even in a case of where you may potentially negate the mitzvah of Yibum, like we saw in the case of the four brothers. That's why he mandates chalitza. Whereas Rabbi Gamliel is not choshesh even if you actively negate Yibum. As you see in the case of the Kitana, where if we wait till the girl grows up and she affirms that marriage, we will actively negate Yibum to her sister. So Gemara said, Dilma man de lo chayish afil levadai, afil levadai lo chayish, u man de chayish afil lesvega chayish. Maybe not, maybe the one who's choshesh is choshesh, I should say differently, maybe the one who is not choshesh, excuse me, is not choshesh even for a vadai case of negation, like Rabbi Gamliel. And the one who is choshesh, like Rabbi Meir, is choshesh even for a suffix uprooting of Yibum. Amr li Abayi Rabbi Yosef. Okay, so Moshe says the Gemara leaves that. Amr li Abayi Rabbi Yosef. So Abayi says Rabbi Yosef. Had Rabbi Yehuda d'Shmueli. That's which Rabbi Yehuda said. Moshe says, now what did Rabbi Yehuda say? Rabbi Yehuda paskin on the bottom of Yudzayin on the days. That what Yesh Zeka. Rabbi Yehuda's position of Yesh Zeka is based on the position of Shmuel. This man, because we learned, Shomeres Yavam. Shomeres Yavam Shechidesh Achides Achusa. We'll say, watch this. Let's say the point. So remember, Rabbi Huda holds Ein Yesh Zeka. Excuse me. So we'll say, watch this case. You have a Shomeres Yavam. So listen to this case. Reuben dies. Reuben dies. Leaves behind a widow, Rachel. What happens? There's Shimon and Levi. Shimon is ready to go ahead and do Yibum with Rachel. And what happens? In the interim, Shechidesh Achides Achusa. In the interim, Levi goes ahead and is Mekadesh Leah, Rachel's sister. And I'll say, so now watch this thing. Gemara says, Amru Chachamim, excuse me, so Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Amru, Omrim Lo, Hamtin Ad Sheyase Achicha Maisa. We tell the brother who betrothed the sister of the widow, wait to do anything until your brother exercises his Yibum or Chalitza option. I'll say, look at Rashi. Rashi says, Shekidish Achiv, Shal Yavam Esachosa, Achar Shenafla Zu Lefanov, Omrim Lo Lema'aris, Hamtin Milak Lichnos, Lepisha Achos Ziku Kaschachir. I'll say, why do we tell Levi to wait to do anything? It's going to be Shimon who does Yibum. Because remember, until one of the brothers exercises the Yibum option, then what? All of the brothers have a connection to the widow. So we tell Levi, brother number three, wait to do anything with Leah, the sister of the widow, because Lemaisa, you still have a connection to who? You still have a connection to Rachel, to the widow herself. So we'll say, what do you see from that? You see from that what? That Lemaisa, what do we say? Yesh Zeka. That there is a marital bond, the marital connection between the Yibama, the widow, and the surviving brothers. And Rabbi Yosef, of course, interesting enough, what else we see from here as well, is that Zeka applies to who? Applies to all the surviving brothers, not just to the brother who, let's say again, is the, we'll call it the heir apparent to the deceased brother. And Shmuel said, Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. And Rabbi Yosef, Shmuel said that indeed the Halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. So you see from here that Lamaisa, again, Rabbi Yehuda Shita is based on the statement of Shmuel. Amarlei, the idrav mai. So, because what happens if you try to set this up like Rav? Look at Rashi this morning. And if this would have been said over in the name of Rav, so why would that be a problem for you? So Yibar says, I'll tell you why. Amrlei kashi derav adrav. I'll tell you why. Because remember, Rav was quoted on Yud Zayin days. Where was Rav quoted? Rafuna Amarav said, "Ein zeka." See, if you would tell me now that this statement over here is the name of Rav, we have an inherent contradiction, because Rav Huna quoted Rav as saying, and this is on Yud Zayin Amud Beis, that there is no Zeka. Now, if you're going to state this statement over here, if you're going to make the statement in the name of Rav that says Yesh Zeka, we have an inherent contradiction in the name of Rav, to which he wants Kasha Rav the Rav. So that's not such a Kasha. Dilma Amoroyim. Maybe there are different Amoroyim Ba'aliba de Rav. And what is a machlokis as to what Rav himself actually said? The Rav say yesh zeka, the Rav say ein zeka. To which the Gemara says, Kevan deit, my mishmei de shol behedja, who mishmei de Rav kamorai, lo shavkinan mishmei de shol behedja, vina kamorai ba'aliba de Rav. To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you very simple. You know, there's no contradiction about what Shmuel said, right? It's clear and explicit that Shmuel said yesh zeka. It's a machlokis about what Rav said. Therefore, lemaisa, if I have a choice between establishing the sheet of Ein Zeka according to one man da Amar of Rav, or establishing Yesh Zeka according to Shmuel, l'divrei hakol, I'm going to what? Establish it according to Shmuel. And that's why the Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda's statement of Yesh Zeka is in alignment with the position of Shmuel. To which the Gemara says, Amrav Kana, Amrisa l'shmaita kameh d'Rav Zivid min Arda, he said over this statement in front of Rav Zivid in Arda, Amr, and he said to me, Rav Zid said to me, Asun m'haki mas nisula. You taught it that way. Anan beheja masanin. We teach it explicitly. What did we say? Amr Rav Yehuda, Amr Shmuel. You see what I both say? If you look at our version on Yudzai number days, so we had Amr Rav Huna, Amr Rav, but it just said Amr Rav Yehuda with no attribution. Just Rav Yehuda. So Rav Zid says, in Naharda, we do things right. In Naharda, we went ahead and when we taught this statement, we started as Amr Rav Yehuda, Amr Shmuel. The attribution was already done in the beginning. Those Nahardoids, right? So what happened? Shomer Yosef Shemesa As Rabbi Ima. What did we say in Shmuel? We're also going back to the original case that if a Yavama dies before Yibam occurs, the Yavam, the surviving brother, is not permitted to marry her mother. What do we see from here? Ama Kasavra Yesh Zeka. Therefore, what do you see from here? That there is a din of Zeka. And I will say that attributes it directly to Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Shmuel. But as the Shmuel of Tameh, as Shmuel goes according to his regular reasoning, the Amr Shmuel, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, because I will say why, because Shmuel is already on record as saying that the Halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. That's the case we just had on the top of Amud Beis over here, that we tell the other brother number three, to wait to do anything with the sister of the widow until what? Until his older brother does Yibum. So now essentially we have two statements that say the same thing. We have Shmuel saying Yesh Zeka, and we have Shmuel saying the Halacha of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. So now the Gemara says, Utzrichi, why do I need both of those statements? The Ashmuel and Yesh Zeka, because if we would have just said Yesh Zeka Hava Amina, I would have said Hani Mili Bechad. I would have said, when do we say Yesh Zeka? I will say when there's one surviving brother, because then there's a clear connection between the widow and that brother, Aval betrelo, but perhaps if there are two surviving brothers, where it's not clear that what? It's not clear who's going to do what with the widow, with the Yivama. There's no Zeka, therefore Kamashan Allah Khabidim Mesera, that there is Zeka even with two brothers. The Ashmin Allah Khabidim Mesera, if we would have just said Allah Khabidim Mesera, Hava Amina Hanim Michaim. I would have said, when is there Zeka? When the Yavama is alive, but when the Yavama dies, perhaps the Zeka goes with it. There's no more Zeka. Kamash Bolon, the Zeka Bichdi Lo Paka. Therefore, again, the Shmuel also paskins Yesh Zeka, and Zeka does not spontaneously evaporate when the Yavama dies. Okay, says the Mishnah. Shnei Achim. So we'll say we are left again. Just so you understand, we are left with a fundamental machlokes about Yesh Zeka or Ein Zeka. The Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Shmuel, that's what? That there is Yesh Zeka, which means that Lamaisa for the purpose, let's say of this case, that if let's say again Reuben dies without children, his wife Rachel falls to Shimon with Yibum, even though they did not do anything yet. No Ma'amar, no Yibum, no nothing. And now let's say again Rachel dies, Shimon will be forever prohibited to who? To Rachel's mother. Because Lemaisa again, Yesh Zeka, there is a marital bond established between the Yavam and the Yavama. Says the Mishnah. Shnei Achim, Umeis Echam, Nehem, Yibim, Hashini, Es Ishto, Eseshes Achim. So this now we're going to see, this is very similar to the previous Mishnah. So you have two brothers, one of the brothers died, Yavam Hashini, Es Ishto, and again, remember, brother number two, so let's call him Reuben, Shimon, and Levi. So Reuben dies, Reuben's married to Rachel, and Shimon does Yibum. Yavam Hasheni as Eishes Achiv. So Shimon does Yibum with Reuben's wife. Ba'achar kach nolad lahen ach. And then again, Mazel Tov, a third brother is born. Levi's born. So what happens? Umeis, and now Shimon dies. So Shimon, so remember, Shimon has now already done, so Reuben died, Shimon did Yibum with Reuben's wife and also has his own wife. Now Shimon dies, after now Levi's born. Now after the birth of Levi, Shimon dies. Umeis, Harishoni Yotzim Shem Eishas Achim Shalhaya Ba'olam. So we'll say, obviously Levi can't do Yibum with Shimon's first wife, because Shimon's first wife is who? Is Reuben's widow, which essentially makes her, we'll call her Rachel, the wife of Levi's non-contemporary brother. Therefore, no Yibum in that case. Vashniya Mishum Tsarasa. And what? And the second wife, who again was, we'll call her Shimon's first wife, is also, Levi can't do Yibum with her. Why? Because she is the Torah, she is a co-wife of the wife of a non-contemporary brother. Asa b'manar, however, again, I'll say, let's say in that case, going back a little bit, let's say Shimon didn't get to Yibum with Reuben's wife. He only did ma'amar, right? This type of erisin. Umeis, and he died after having done ma'amar. So what's the halacha? Hashniya choletz is v'lo misyadanes. But in that case, again, remember, Levi still can't do Yibum with Shimon's wife, number one, because she is Reuben's widow, wife of non-contemporary brother. But for the second wife, what we will see is he does chalitza, but does not do Yibum. Does not do Yibum. Okay, we'll see why that is. Shimon says, "Miyabim le'ezim mehem sheyirta, ocholeis le'ezim mehem sheyirta." So once it comes along, Reb Shimon, and Reb Shimon drops a bombshell. Reb Shimon says, "Nope, he could go ahead and Levi could do Yibum with whichever one he wants, or could do Chalitza with whichever one he wants." Now, what is this? Now, look at Rashi just a moment ago. Rashi writes, "Miyabim le'ezim sheyirta, uptura chaverta," and he ultimately exempts her co-wife. "Velav as aasa b'ma'amar koi." Ela Aresha Dikani Harishona Yotza. The Kamar of Shimon, the Chevan Shinola, Kvar Nisyavma, Velo Haisa Zeb Bezeka, says you Akal Aresha, the Ola Mutar Savosa, says this. So Rav Shimon is commenting on which case? A case number one. What was case number one? Case number one is where Reuben died, Shimon does Yibum with Reuben's widow, and what happened? After Shimon has done Yibum already, then what? Then Levi's born. So Moshe, Reb Shimon is something very interesting. At the time that Levi comes into this world, Levi never knew his brother Reuven. All that Levi knows is what? Is that Shimon, his brother Shimon, is married to two women. So says Reb Shimon something amazing. Because at the time that Levi came into this world, there was never a Yibum situation for Levi. As far as Levi knows, in Levi's worldview, so to speak, the only thing he knows is he has an older brother Shimon who's married to two women. At the time that Levi came into this world, there was never any kind of Yibum or anything happening, just Shimon married to two women. Therefore, again, Rabbi Shimon passing that if Shimon dies, Levi has the ability to do Yibum or Chalitza with either of those two women. Really, what Rabbi Shimon is saying is that Rachel, who was the widow of Reuven, does not have the status of the wife of a non-contemporary brother vis-a-vis Levi, for reasons we'll see in the Gemara. Says the also, I have another minute, so let's just go a little bit later. I'm Rav Oshia. Chaluk Hayarim Shimon Af Barishona. So the truth is, Rabbi Shimon disagreed even in the previous Mishnah. Meaning Rashi says the Kashari Nolad the Achakach Yibim. The truth is, says the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon even disagrees in the case where Levi is born. Where Levi is born before Shimon does anything. Rabbi Shimon disagrees already in the first case, where again, Reuven dies, Yivama falls to Shimon, then Levi's born, before anything happens. Rabbi Shimon even holds in that case, if Shimon dies, Levi still has the ability to what? Still has the ability to do Yibum or Chalitza with either of those two women. So the Gemara says, Mimai, how do we know that? Medikani Mishnah Yisera. Bava Dereisha Lemanka. So what is that? Because remember, essentially this entire Mishnah is pretty much extraneous. Because this Mishnah to a certain degree only echoes the same statements as made in the previous Mishnah. So the Gemara says the following. Bava Dereisha Lemanka Tanila. Why did we have to write the first Mishnah? Ilema the Rabbanan. If you want to say it's for the Rabbanan, that can't be true. Why? Hashta Yavam Ulubasof Nalad. Because we'll say, if Rabbanan are going to say in this case over here, where Levi is only born after Shimon already did Yibum, in which case, again, by the time Levi came into this world, there's no Reuben in the picture as well. All he knows is that his brother Shimon is married to two women, and yet what? The Rabbanan still say that Levi can't do Yibum. Therefore, again, Nolad va'acharkach yavam miboy. It's obvious then what? That in the case where Levi is born before the Yibum of Shimon actually occurs, then of course he's going to be usher in those women. Rather, the only reason we needed to state this Mishnah is for the purpose of Rav Shimon. The Tana Reisha lahod biacha kocha de Rav Shimon. The Tana Seifa lahod biacha kocha de Rabbana. And I will say, watch this. The Reisha, which is the previous Mishnah Yud Zayin, was stated to teach us the power of Rav Shimon's opinion. Because what's the power of Rav Shimon's opinion? Rav Shimon holds that Lemaisa again. He holds that Levi could do Yibam, even in what case? Even when Levi was born, before Shimon did Yibam with the widow of Reuven. So Rav Shimon holds, even in that case, Levi has the ability to do Yibam or Chalitza with either one of the two women. And what? And we teach this second Mishnah over here to teach us the power of the Rabbanan's position. The Rabbanan holds what Rabbanan say? That even if Levi is only born when? Even if Levi is only born after Shimon already did Yibum, that Lamaisa what? Levi still can't do Yibum or Chalitza with either of the women. Ubedinhu, the Niflug of Shimon Reisha. So why didn't Rav Shimon voice his opinion? Rabbanan say it's a very important episode. Why didn't Rav Shimon voice his opinion? Where? In the first Mishnah. Elanatar lohu l'rabanan ad demesaymi l'milsayhu v'hadr palagalayhu. Because Rabbanan say, what happened? Because Rabbi Shimon wanted the rabbis to first finish their statement, finish talking, right? Finish what you have to say. And then only afterwards did he argue. See, he allowed the rabbanan to go through all of these different cases. And only afterwards did he voice his dissent on both cases. As well, say, we'll stop over here. Shikoyach.